Take it from me, you guys are not going to want to miss the party of the summer. It's Rocklahoma, it's back in Pryor, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, and it's going to feature acts like Warrant, LA Guns, Bullet Boys, Godsmack, Chevelle, Daughtry, Skid Row, Limp Bizkit, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Asking Alexandria, Kix, Pantera, Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor, and many, many more. Go to rocklahoma.com right now to get your weekend passes and keep listening to On the Road to Rock with me, Clint Switzer, to learn how you can win two weekend passes for the whole weekend of Rocklahoma. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Ronnie Romero, welcome to On the Road to Rock. It is great to have you, my friend. How are you?
Fine. Very good.
Well, Ronnie, I just got to get this out of the way because you're from Chile, and I hold Chile in such high regard. My high school girlfriend was a foreign exchange student from Quaipapu, Chile. How about that?
Oh, great. That's great.
And guess what? She was what is it about South America? She's from Chile, and she knew all the great metal bands. She knew Maiden. She knew Priest. She knew Metallica. The South Americans, man, they know where the true metal is. They know all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. They're huge in South America. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Ronnie, it's a great time for you. You're getting ready to release your new solo album, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters. And I just got done listening to the whole thing. It is absolutely tremendous, Ronnie. This album is amazing.
Thank you very much.
What was this like? You recorded this with several great musicians. Talk about some of them, because, gosh, you got Andy C on drums, Jose Rubio guitar, Francisco Gil, Javier Garcia. How did you get all these guys together?
They're all friends of mine, and we worked together before. So for me, that's a plus. And it was very important also because I really want to have this like an organic, old-fashioned band sound. So that's for me, that means that we need to be all together working face-to-face in the same room. Something like sadly doesn't happen very often nowadays. So I decided to work with all those guys I worked before because I knew that it's going to work.
Yeah, it does. It has that sound to it, which is, it's like you guys are in tune, and especially for, you know, a lot of Frontiers related albums, a lot of guys record it, you know, online and send stuff in. That's really the process. So this really does have like a band type of sound to it. It really reminds me of like a, you know, a Dio record, like a Holy Diver or something from Axel Rudi Pell. Are you familiar with Axel Rudi
Pell?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that. It reminds me of some of that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the main idea. You know, since I was working with a lot of Frontiers projects before,
sure,
especially Ferryman and Sandstorm and all this stuff, you know, I really wanted to distance myself a little bit from those releases in terms of sound. Not because it's a bad thing, but, you know, I really want to go different. So to work with all new people, even on the artwork and all the mixing, mastering, not to have anybody from Frontiers related to that, it makes the album sounds a little bit different and more special.
Well, it has been quite a year for you. I actually saw you with Michael Schenker opening up for Wasp back in November in Tulsa. You guys just did a couple of dates with Wasp. What was that like doing those shows with Wasp? Because those were some really big shows. People were really into that. And to have you guys, I think, in Tulsa and then a couple shows in Texas, that was amazing.
Yeah, we did like a four or five shows together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool, you know, because the audience is the true rock heavy metal fans. You know, it's like a place of real rock fans. And yeah, they were I mean, they were Wasp fans, but there was a lot of Michael Schenker fans also. So
oh, absolutely.
He was great. He was great. I was a little bit surprised that the people in America, they liked more the UFO stuff instead of Michael Schenker, which is totally the opposite in Europe.
That's interesting you say that, because like I am such a big MSG fan, and I like UFO, but yeah, the set was definitely heavy on UFO, and then not many Robin McCauley era songs.
Yeah, not too much. I think because it's a 50 years anniversary tour, Michael really wanted to go to the more classic stuff, you know.
Sure.
So that's my MSG, and especially UFO.
Were you a fan of Wasp, or Armored Saint was also on the bill? Were you like a fan of Wasp or Armored Saint?
Not really Wasp, but Armored Saint. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think it was one of those deals where, you know, Michael Schenker's done so many tours lately with Michael Schenker Fest. He's had Robin McCauley out there, and then you came in. Do you get a sense that people are a little they're kind of skeptical when they see you come out there, and then it's like when you start singing the songs that people become huge fans of yours, like immediately?
Yeah, but that's the story of my life, is enjoying Rainbow. So
oh, exactly.
I got used to it.
Yeah, you've dealt with this also being in Rainbow, Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, my goodness. But does it feel like a dream come true for you when you get to sing with these legendary acts?
I mean, absolutely. Imagine that. And it's not only to play with them, but it happens in such a short period of time in my life that if we talk about since I joined Rainbow, it's only about 8-7 years ago. So from there, to play with Richie Blackmore, Michael Schenker, Adrian Vandenberg, Leo Leoni from Gotthard, and many other great artists is unbelievable.
How do you deal with, like, the haters? People that... trash, you know, we've seen it. We saw Joe Lynn Turner kind of diminish the Rainbow lineup. People online, like, this isn't Robin McCauley, this isn't Gary Barden, or, you know, other Michael Schenker. How do you deal with that? You're just such a nice, affable guy. So what's it like trying to deal with that?
Well, obviously you need to get used to it. There was a time when I was alive, especially at the beginning, where it was really hard because it was something new for me, you know, that the people, it was so invasive on your life, not only the professional side, but even on the personal side. This is an invasion of your life, you know, because the people is talking about you, good things and bad things. Then you learn, obviously, it's part of the criticism. It's going to be there. It's part of the business, you know. It's okay to me, in terms of when the people say, I like your music, I don't like your music, or I like you as a singer, or either I don't like you. That's pretty much okay. You know, I can live with that. But what I don't like, it's when the people step in some issues that they shouldn't, especially the personal side of you. And they think they can have a word on how are you, if you are this kind of person or that kind of person, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't like it too much, but you get used to it and you learn how to deal with it.
And another thing that you do is when people hear the songs, when they hear you, it's people are blown away. And I think that's what's great also about releasing solo material, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters in this case, which is out September 15th, is that, you know, you're able to establish your own career as well. Do you think that's important as well, to be able to step away from these bands and to do your own thing, and that you get a lot of respect for doing that as well?
Yeah, I think it was the moment to validate or to put on the table my value as a musician, you know, as a real musician, not only playing with other people or singing other people's songs, you know. So it's just, I'm not just singing Rainbow or Michael Schenker or whatever, and just facing this by myself, singing my own songs, working my own material. So it's just to put the value of my career, or why those guys picked me up for those bands. So it's like it was the moment to show the people that this is actually what I can do.
So whenever obviously the album comes out, September 15th. And then you've got a bunch of tour dates, correct? To tour on this? What's that going to look like? That's over in Europe mostly?
We're starting in Europe, especially Germany. We're going to make 14 shows in Germany, one show in Belgium. We're going to add soon some shows in Switzerland to that leg.
Okay.
And then we're going in the upcoming months. We're going to Scandinavia. We're going through Europe. We're going to Japan. We're planning to go Central and South America, hopefully joining and adding the U.S. at that leg, because, you know, it makes sense to go through the U.S. and to the South. And then, yes, Summer Festival. So probably going to be most of the 2024 really busy touring with the new release.
And that's amazing. That has to be gratifying when you know that you can get those kind of shows all over the world and that people want to see you. That is amazing, because for a lot of people, they do the Frontiers releases and they don't, you know, they're not active bands that go on tour together. So that's another thing that sets you apart.
And it's also a good feeling to know that you are requested to go to many places with your own name. As I say before, you are not, because I'm not in the safety zone anymore, playing under the wings of, you know, Richie Blackmore or Michael Schenker.
Right.
They're putting their names there. They are selling the tickets. The people is going to see them. And now it's like, okay, it's the people they really want to see Ronnie Romero, you know. So it's very cool.
They do, and I hope that does make it to America. That would be tremendous to be able to come out and see you again. Because again, I was so blown away. I am such a huge Michael Schenker fan. Michael's been on this show before, as has Robin McCauley. So to see that and to be able to be a part of that, and like, you know, I brought my girlfriend to that show in Tulsa. And she's a huge Robin McCauley fan. And I was like, what do you hear this guy? And she was just blown away. So I think that's the effect that you have. I also got to ask you about Elegant Weapons. Horns for a Halo. What an album that was. We had Richie Faulkner on the show here. You guys did a bunch of shows over in Europe as well this past spring, right? How did that go?
It was brave, because, you know, I'm not going to say it was smart, or it was not, but, you know, we just released the album at the end of May, and then a couple of days after we were going on tour, which is very risky because, you know, there was no time for the people to listen to the album.
Right.
So we were gladly surprised that the people, they really liked the band, and even when they didn't listen to the songs before, they really liked it, and that's a sign, you know, that's a sign. First of all, that the songs are great. I mean, the songs by themselves, not because of the musicians, but the songs are great, and the people really like it, really like the show. So we are very happy, and that's why we are just already planning to make a second album and go on tour again.
Yeah, it's funny because obviously Rex Brown originally was part of Elegant Weapons, and then Rex Brown goes on to do this band that not many people have heard of and a huge world tour called Pantera. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, they're out there right now with Metallica. So yeah, Pantera. Were you a Pantera fan growing up at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I grew up with Pantera because I was a teenager in the 90s. So
right, me too. So yeah, you and I were about the same age. So when you're growing up in Chile, and like I said, my girlfriend Natalia from high school, she loved heavy metal. So when you're growing up, you're around, we're about the same age. What are you listening to when you're growing up in Chile mostly?
Well, it was at that time. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a huge boom of Metallica, especially, and then Pantera, Anthrax, and all those bands. There was Pearl Jam around also, but for me it was a little bit different because I come from a family of musicians, and especially my father, rest in peace, he was a huge fan of American rock bands.
Wow.
So I grew up listening Boston, Kansas, Eagles, Creedence, Clearwater, and all those bands, you know. So I was a little bit atypical for me. I was the freaky guy on school, because everybody was listening Metallica, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, that kind of stuff. And I was listening Steve Ray Vaughan, you know. It was a little bit weird.
That's awesome. Do you remember what the first concert you ever went to was?
Well, that's the funny thing, because technically I didn't been there. because I was not allowed for my age. It was at that time, if you were not, if you were under 18, you were not allowed to get in the venue. But I was listening from the outside. It was a rainbow show.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were listening on the outside. Do you remember the first time you actually were able to go inside, what that was?
Yeah, it was a kind of a, I don't remember if they call it Monsters of Rock, but it was a festival in Santiago. It was playing Motorhead, Whitesnake, and I think it was Judas Priest also.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. So what an upbringing, and what a way to be introduced to all these bands. That is, yeah. I always love to hear people's journeys and how they got it. So, I mean, at what point did you realize that, okay, I love this music, I love these bands, but that you had the voice to go along with it? At what point did you realize that you had that kind of powerful voice?
In a very early age, because, you know, it was funny that we put a band together with my schoolmates when we were like 14, 15 years old. And since we were having this background of music by our parents, my best friend in school, his father, he was listening to Pink Floyd and all those bands. And I was coming, as I told you before, with my father listening to American rock bands. Then this guy introduced me to Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, and all those classic bands, and we put a band together. It was a guitar player, and say, okay, I'm gonna sing, and and it was pretty successful in the way that we were probably 16 years old, and we were playing in a club every Saturday night.
Wow.
For I think it was around 10 or 20 bucks per night at that time, and it was like a motorbike club. So the guys there, they were so happy that you have a bunch of teenagers playing Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Creedence, Eagles, and all those classic bands, you know? And then I realized that I could sing most of them. It was really easy to me to sing different kind of bands, you know, the Beatles also, and many others.
That is tremendous. I love that. I love that story. As we kind of wrap up here and back to the album, it's Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters. The album cover itself, man, you know, I'm a visual person. So when I was growing up, if I saw like an album that just blew me away, it's like I had to have it. So this album cover really does that. Tell me about the album cover and kind of how that came about.
We really want to have the impact of a nice visual cover, because, you know, that's very important, as you say, because I'm still the kind of a guy who go to the record store.
Right.
And many of the things that when you're looking for, and you're just doing a research, and then suddenly you see like a nice cover and it gets your attention. So that's for me very important. Sadly, it's not like that anymore because of the socials and all the stuff, the streaming and all the stuff. But anyway, I really want to have that. And since the direction of the album in terms of music was about Ronnie James Dio solo career kind of stuff, I was like, okay, I really want to have something like similar like that. And I was looking the cover of Last in Line, and actually we're using the kind of the same colors, and. And, you know, you have this big figure in the back, like ruling everybody in the scene. So there was a kind of a tribute to that artwork.
It is definitely an album that brings me back. It brings me to some of that powerful metal that really like got me into the genre to begin with. And that's what I love about it. It's timeless. It's ageless. It doesn't sound like the 80s. It doesn't sound like today. It sounds like what heavy metal should be. And I think that's the biggest compliment.
For me, that's pretty clear, because it was actually exactly the point to make the record. We wanted to sound organic, which is something you don't have nowadays. Because of, you know, technology, you can record an album at home with your laptop, or you can record here in Bucharest while the guitar player is in Sweden, you know, which is, you know, technology helps a lot with that. But at some point, it hurts a little bit, the music. So I really wanted to go back the old-fashioned way, when you are all together in the same room, writing the songs and rehearsing, and then going all together to the recording studio and you know, and you know, you have this kind of old-fashioned organic sound in the band.
Well, as you're trying to put together a set list for your upcoming tour, does that become difficult? You have other solo releases, you have this one, you know, how much are you going to rely on this new album? Because I see like, you know, 6 or 7 songs almost out of this. It's like almost like you've got to play because it's so good. Like how is it trying to put together a set list for this tour?
Yeah, we're gonna play the most of the songs from the album. Good. As you say, it's about 7-8 songs.
Yeah.
But then luckily, since we have these 2 covers albums released before, we can play covers, but with a meaning. So it's going to be songs from the Raised on Radio and Raised on TV Radio.
Amazing to hear it. Ronnie, you're awesome. This album, I cannot say enough about it. And I'm going to be blasting it now until forever, because it is that good. I can't thank you enough. And again, it's been a pleasure to be able to now see you live and to now have you on the show here on The Road to Rock, man. It is a true pleasure. And I hope the tour goes great and the album release is a success, because it deserves that. Thank you so much, Ronnie.
Thanks to you. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.